Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EP and the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Dr. Ichuk Adizes, who has developed, tested, and documented a global known proprietary methodology that bears his name, the Adizes Methodology for Organizational Transformation, which provides tools for corporations, governments, and not-for-profit organizations to achieve exceptional results. He is the author of What Matters in Life, Systemic Coaching, The Power of Collaborative Leadership, and many other books. And Dr. Adizes, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Thank you for giving me the space to speak.
Now, you're more than welcome, an honor to have you with us, and really do appreciate your time. So you're known worldwide for the Adizes methodology, which you have implemented at thousands of corporations and organizations around the world. Can you briefly explain the methodology and why it has been so successful to kick things off today?
Because management education and many of the books, even the bestsellers, focus on how to make good decisions. What are the right decisions? That's why they focus on strategy. What is the right strategy for that? What's the right strategy for that? What the books are not focusing on is on implementation, the problems of implementation. And that's where most of the problems are in companies. And not only in companies, medicine has the same problem called compliance. Patients don't take the medicine that are being instructed. People don't go on a diet that are being prescribed. People have problems of implementation. The mistake is that people believe, and if I look at, I was a professor at Stanford, at Columbia, at UCLA, many universities, all the management programs are how to make good decisions, hardly anything about implementation. And if the implementation is not good, decision is useless. My methodology focuses on how to have rapid implementation of strategic changes that the company needs to make without destructive conflict. That is the uniqueness of the methodology that I've developed. And companies have grown from 12 million to 4 billion organically using the methodology, or from 150 million also to 4 billion. I'm talking about Domino Pizza, and the first one is called Wonderful. The company is called Wonderful. Many, many companies around the world, by knowing how to make rapid implementation of major change without destructive conflict.
I really appreciate giving us some background information on that. And again, it's certainly an honor to have you with us here today to discuss your methodology. So how can the Adizes methodology also help small to mid-sized businesses and leaders as well?
The usual problem with the mid-sized companies around between 40 million to 150 million is called succession planning. The founder builds a company. Or not only succession planning, let's start with the first problem before succession planning is the company becomes too big for a single founder to manage it. They just cannot hold it together anymore. It's just too big. And now they start exhibiting difficulties of management. And the question is, how do you move from entrepreneurial management to professional management? Many of the founders cannot make the transition. And they try to bring somebody in who is going to make the transition for them. Like many of them tell me, Dr. Adizes, I know how to build a company, but I don't know how to manage a company. Now that I build it, they feel that they are in a founder's trap, that they cannot move to the next stage and institutionalize the leadership of the company. Institutionalize means that you don't depend on the individual style, but the company as a such provides all the what's necessary for its growth. Like, for instance, you have entrepreneurial, institutionalized entrepreneurship in marketing, in R&D, in new product development, in strategic planning, rather than all of these functions embedded in the founder, and then it's just too much, and when he dies, the company dies. How do you move from individual leadership to institutionalized leadership that doesn't depend as much on the leader, but on the system to provide the results? And that's what is the most important thing, that we can make the transformation for companies. Another problem is succession planning of a different nature in the family. Many family businesses, they transfer the leadership by bloodlines. And that can create a lot of troubles. And in all over the world, there's an expression in different languages. In American, we say father, son. No, in Mexico, father, son. No, father, merchant, son, playboy, grandson, beggar. Or in English, we say from sleeveless shirt to sleeveless shirt in three generations. In Chinese, it's called from peasant shoes to peasant shoes in three generations. So this is all over the world, same problem. How do you transit from one generation to the other without losing the company or losing the dream that you started and you built together? And we can help make the transition by how helping the founder build the succession correctly, rather than just by bloodlines, how to build it in such a way that the next generation is not necessarily going to disturb the company or disturb what you have developed.
Excellent response right there. Excellent. Now, you are reissuing your best-selling books in the upcoming months. Can you talk a little bit about some of your business books, such as Managing Corporate Life Cycles and Mastering Change?
Sure. One of my best books, for which I got 21 honorary doctorates from universities all over the world, and we translated to 36 languages, and it is the CEO, I think the former CEO, no, it was quite a long time ago, of Pepsi Cola told me that's my Bible. I have it next to my bed and I read the chapter every night. The same thing with another guy in Turkey, says it's my Quran. I read it every night. And the dean of Yeshiva University Law School called me the Darwin of corporations. That book presents a model highly tested all over the world, 36 languages all over the world, 70 countries, that companies have a life cycle. They're born, they grow, they age, and they die. And at every stage of the life cycle, they have typical problems. Some of the problems are normal. Some of the problems are abnormal. And some of the problems are critical. And many executives that don't have experience of many, many, many companies don't know how to discriminate between what's normal, what's abnormal, and what's critical. A. B. Aging companies have abnormal problems. They don't have normal problems, which means aging is abnormal. You don't need to age. Even human beings don't have to age. In my case, I'm applying it to myself in my personal life. I'm 85 years old and I still write books and I still consult and I'm totally active and more productive now than I was when I was 30 years old. And I'm intending to die healthy. And what I'm saying to you is that companies, the business might die, but the company does not have to die. The company can continue changing from one business to the other, to the other, to the other, as the world is changing and they don't have to die. So in other words, aging of a company is an abnormal problem, not necessarily a problem that everybody has to follow. Now the question is, and that's what the book shows, how do you know which of your problems are normal? How do you know your problems are abnormal? So that you focus on your abnormal problems and let the normal problems take a back seat so you don't waste your energy. You will grow out of it with time. Don't worry about it. It's the problems of where you are, and like with children, not every problem is abnormal. So let it grow. Let it grow. Don't worry about it. It will take care of itself by itself, and which is critical. And now for critical problems, my recommendation is bring outside help because you don't have time to lose. Abnormal problems will give you the tools so you can solve them by yourself. Abnormal problems bring professional help because they can have shortcuts to take care of it as fast as possible. It will be like an emergency room in a hospital. And we provide in that book an explanation, tools, why companies grow, why companies have problems normal, why they have abnormal problems, and some introduction. I repeat the word introduction to what to do once you diagnose the company, what to do. Because this book is mainly about diagnosis. And what to do, there is another book called Mastering Change. How do you manage change? And then if that is not good enough, then they have to come and be trained in the Business Institute in more depth, because the books will not be sufficient. There is even one more book that can help, called Pursuit of Prime. What are the right strategies, depending where you are in the life cycle? The strategy for a startup company is not the right strategy for a company in a go-go, which is expanding rapidly, and for sure not true for a company which is aging, losing market share, and showing no entrepreneurial spirit. This book, what I'm presenting, as the material there has been tested, as I told you, in 72 countries by my associates all over the world, and we have had enormous success. I don't want to say anything more than look at the www.adizes.com, and you will have testimonials from companies, name of the company that you will recognize, and the name of the president of the company saying, thanks to the Adizes methodology, we grew from 12 million to 4 billion, from 400 million to 15 billion. So the name of the company, you will recognize the company, the Applied Material, wonderful, Domino Pizza. So this methodology has been tested, and anybody that reads the book should be able to make better decisions and the right decisions at the right time.
Yeah, those numbers that you mentioned certainly make a huge impact, and we'll also make sure folks are aware of where they can visit that website and re-give that address, whether if it's verbally or within the show notes of this broadcast as well. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Ichak Adizes, the author of What Matters in Life, Systemic Coaching, The Power of Collaborative Leadership, and many other books, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, you've also written a memoir, I understand, The Accordion Player. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you became an internationally respected leadership expert?
Yeah, but I would like first to tell the audience how to spell my name, because they will never find me by just going in vocally. I see like in Charles, H-A-K, that's Ichak. And then the last name, Adizes, A, America, D, Denmark, I, Italy, Z, Zambia, E, Ecuador, S, Sweden, Adizes, Ichak Adizes. That book I've been writing for 15 years. And I finished it when I could not look at it anymore. When I was going to throw up, I just could not look at it anymore. Because writing a memoir, your life story is very, very, very painful, very difficult. You have to decide what to write, what not to write. The essence of that book and why I wrote it is because I was hoping it can help other people that had the problem I had. The book is divided into three, and then we'll explain. First part is how I closed my heart and I could not feel. And all my energy went to my brain. And with that brain, in second part, I show how I build a methodology which is applied in worldwide, in United States too, and made me go and get this 21 honorary doctorates and a lot of recognitions. Lifetime recognition from the Academy of International Management, etc. I even three honorary citizenships of countries that I helped the countries change. But I was miserable because my heart was closed. So I was successful career-wise. I had a wife, I had children, but I was miserable as a human being. And then how I opened my heart and I found love in my life, starting with loving myself and loving everything around me. So starting with a closed heart, tremendous success career-wise, because I had no, every energy went into career building. And then how I still could do my career, but now with feelings and love and open heart. And that's what the book is about, hoping that will help a lot of successful people that are struggling like myself, that are successful, but they don't feel happy. So how to be happy and be successful rather than successful and not be happy is what my book is about.
Well, just the fact you spent 15 years writing that book, it certainly sounds like it is a must read for sure. And thanks for giving us some idea on what it is about. Lastly, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing business leaders in the coming year?
Well, that relates to my previous answer. If you look at the sequence by which civilization has developed, First, if you are Darwinian, we were chimpanzees. The strongest chimpanzee was the leader. Then we were a nomadic society. The strongest hunter was the leader. Then we settled down and we're agricultural society. And the person with the most cows and sheep or land was the leader. The common denominator is power, muscles. The more, the better. And that would give birth to colonialism. The more, the better. The more, the more, the more, the more, the more, the better. Till today. But then came the Industrial Revolution. And the brain came to game. Not only muscles, now you needed brain, which was not necessary in agricultural society or nomadic society, because agricultural society, you plan your next season and you're done. In an industrial society, you need much longer perspective. You have to plan, you have to get your supplies, you have to market, you have to do budgets, you have to hire people. Brain came into the game. And industrial society, the successful one were the one that had the brain and the muscles. Today we live in the post-industrial society, and we are mostly in the brain. Muscles are not so important. We export muscles to India and to China and to Vietnam. Let them do the work. And now the power is in the brain. And that's why, if you look at the most valuable companies in stock market, they really have brain. Uber has not one car, not even one car. What does it have? Computers, information, the capability to handle information. The biggest hotel in the world does not have one hotel, no muscle whatsoever. What do they have? Information called Airbnb. And what is Amazon collecting? Information. What is Google collecting? Information. We live in a database society now. Who can accumulate data, process the data, make decisions, better decisions than the next one with the data is starting to become the winner. That is on its way out. Why? Artificial intelligence, quantum computers are going to replace our brain. There is even talk that you will never have Alzheimer anymore. They put a chip into your head, connect to the cloud, and you don't have Alzheimer. And it's already happening. People are not making decisions so much. They're relying on the computer to make decisions for them. So now the question is, what the future of leadership? What the future of management? If the brain is on its way out, what is the future? That is a question everybody is asking. And I'm saying is, if we stay with brain and muscles, and we don't develop the next thing, which is the heart, managing with the heart, Nazi Germany was not a fluke in the history of mankind. It was a preamble. We are going to go that way, because what was Germany, Nazi Germany, all about? Tremendous education, educated people, music, art. They developed even the nuclear bomb that we stole from them. They had the brain, they had the muscle. What is it? What happened to Nazi Germany? They did not have a heart. And we are in the intersection of the civilization. If we don't develop the heart, we are going to destroy ourselves, because Germany almost destroyed the world. If we did not steal in time the nuclear arm and there the nuclear arm first, we will not be around today. And that's what worries me. And when I look at management education, leadership education, we are still focusing on the brain. How to make the right decisions, how to make more money, how to be more successful, more power, more market share. Where the hell is your heart? And what does it mean, heart? I'll give you the example, which my book is all about. There is a restaurant I love. It has a big sign on the wall that says, "We will not feed you food we will not feed our children with." That's called managing with the heart. How much do you care for your customer? In other words, profit is a goal, but not the ultimate goal. It's a constrained goal. You want to do the best you can do for your customers and make sufficient profit to maintain your success financially, but that's not the ultimate goal. It's a more of a limitation rather than an ultimate goal. If we don't make the change, we're going to destroy the environment, we're going to destroy each other, and the nuclear bomb is not a question of when, not question whether, but when.
The perfect place to conclude. And Dr. Adesis, we can't thank you enough for spending a moment with us here today, and we really appreciate all you've done all these years and for the books that you've written. Of course, you're the author of What Matters in Life, Systemic Coaching, The Power of Collaborative Leadership, and many other books. And to get further details accordingly, you can visit eChuckAdesis.com. And of course, you can find that link within the show notes of this broadcast for your convenience. Dr. Adesis, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. Bye.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. eChuckAdesis, the author of What Matters in Life, Systemic Coaching, The Power of Collaborative Leadership, and many other books. And again, for further details, visit eChuckAdesis.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.